Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry about all the delays here. We have technical difficulties. We're trying to control this back in here. And we're here. Okay. We're back. And we're back. And that's good. And so we're working on that. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to play. So we get this thing set up, we're going to play everything right on time. We're going to play We the People.
Yeah.
Hello. We got Carla at 312.
Hi, this is Cookie Hunter calling in.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay, yeah, hold on. Hello, do you hear me now?
It's a great echo you got in the background.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. Okay. We had some technical difficulties getting on today for whatever reason. When you have this type of problem, we end up calling in ourselves, and we're in the truth have direct connect, and sometimes that happens. So that's what we just did. But anyway, do you hear us now after the echo?
What?
Do you hear me now?
Okay, that's a little better.
Okay, my apologies on that. Okay, now, who am I speaking with?
This is Peggy Hubbard. You sent me an email.
Okay, and please introduce yourself. Please introduce yourself.
This is Peggy Hubbard, candidate for U.S. Senate.
How you doing, Peggy? We're trying to avoid the echo here. The reason why we called you, we saw you yesterday in Illinois at the big rally. And we love what we heard. And we wanted to endorse you for Senate.
Oh, thank you.
And you were very, very important in that. And I would like for you to tell our listeners all about you and go in and talk about your platform.
Well, actually, I was born and raised in St. Louis. I moved over to Illinois roughly around 23 years ago with my husband. We have been married for 33 years. We are the parents of 6, and we are the grandparents of 22. I'm a Navy veteran. I am a former IRS analyst, worked for them for almost 17 years. I was in the Navy, active and reservist for 13. I'm pro-life. I'm NRA, GOA, and Illinois Rifle. I'm part of the walkaway movement where I left the Democratic Party and I became a Republican. And my platform is to be the voice and represent not only the people of Illinois, but get a voice to all Americans that want to get back to family values, safe streets, close our borders, energy independence, voter integrity, and also a smaller government.
Preserving
our
great.
Second Amendment rights. Yes.
That is great. Hey, what is your position on what happened with yesterday Roe v. Wade on Friday? What is your opinion on that?
Well, I'm pro-life, so that goes beyond saying. What the courts did was remove the federal government from making those decisions, which should always been on a state-by-state basis. They're not removing Roe versus Wade. What they're saying is we're removing it from the federal level and we're sending it back to the court, that back to the states. I'm pro-life, and I was on the table about to have an abortion, and God spoke to me, and I jumped off the table and saved my baby's life. And my baby is now 35 years old. This has been a long time coming, and I think the left has actually brought this upon themselves when they decided to do late-term abortion all the way up until birth and beyond, and this was inevitable. And what they're saying is they're removing the federal government from the equation, and they're sending it back down to state rules. And that's where it should have always been in the first place. And people are using this to call to eradicate and remove the Supreme Court. They want to remove our filibuster because they can't get their way. So therefore, we're going to use Roe versus Wade as a springboard. And that's why it's important for us to elect as many conservatives like myself as possible. And my thing is, if you know you're going to be sexually active, be responsible. If you don't want to have kids, there are things that you can do to prevent that. What's wrong with saying that as a woman? I think it's very empowering.
Okay, that is great. You have a perfect story because you told when you were on, when you were talking, you had that story about you and your family and the law enforcement. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, my husband was on the front lines of Ferguson during the whole Ferguson riots when President Obama threw our law enforcement under the bus and painted a big target on their backs. And my husband, fast forward 2016, a year later, July 3rd, and never forget the date, I got a knock at the door telling me that my husband was shot in the line of duty and they did not expect him to live. He was shot point blank in the chest right above the vest on both sides by a Black Lives Matter activist. And this is what changed me, and I became a full-fledged Republican. But when we became Republicans, as my husband was recovering from his wounds, and we made that conscious decision to be Republicans and leave the Democratic plantation, my husband being the Baptist minister, me being Catholic, we went to his church, and his church pretty much told us that we were no longer welcome because we decided to follow President Trump and becoming Republicans, and they did not want us to taint their congregation any further, so we were removed. And I have to say, any church, any church that's more,
they violated your constitutional rights.
Well, you know what my thing is this: any church that's more concerned with my political views and aspirations. And not my soul is not a church. That's a cult.
They're a fraud.
They did me a favor. I don't need brick and mortar to follow Christ in his words.
No.
God is wherever. If you say his name and call out his name, he is there with you. And
exactly.
That is what we took away from it. So I stand on that. And we haven't stepped foot back into that church since.
Any
and that
other
was the church's grandfather did. Excuse me?
Has any other people who attend that church, have they got up and walked out and followed you?
No, they did not. They were afraid.
Okay. They were afraid?
They were afraid to get up and walk out because they felt, this is what they said, they didn't want to rock the boat and they didn't want to get called out. And that's the problem with our country. We
cannot
not
be
willing.
Afraid with being
exactly.
Of the threat. Of being ostracized, that is ridiculous.
Exactly. Exactly. And following your own path and following, that's not a church. And that is not a pastor. That's not. That person does not serve God.
That's an indoctrinator who's very messed up.
Exactly. That's a person that is all in it, not for God, for his own personal
gain. For his own ill-gotten gain.
Exactly. And it made me a better person for it, too. It brought me closer to God, actually. My husband and I, we pray 3 times a day because of that. We pray in the morning.
That's very nice.
Breakfast.
That's
we
great.
We pray before he goes to work on duty. He's still a policeman. And we pray before we lay our heads down to sleep. So,
does it make you feel good? Does it bring you closer? Absolutely.
Yes,
you know?
It does.
And it's a full
it
day, you know, and God loves you. God loves all of us.
Yes, he does.
You know?
God loves all of us, and that's the problem in this country. We have fallen so far away from God and his word. And they said 16% of the people in this country do not believe in God. I am so glad I am not part of that 16%.
Absolutely. I have faith, and I am God-fearing, and I love, and I feel good, and I have that self-esteem, and I lead myself, and I'm a free spirit. You know?
There you go.
I wouldn't say I go to temple. I'm Jewish. I wouldn't say I go to temple, but to me, God is everywhere, and I can pray to him whenever I want, any time of the day, and he hears me, you know, and
he hears
feels
all.
Me.
Exactly. Yes, he does.
And
he feels all and he sees all.
I'm a good,
that's
like
right.
You, I'm a good-hearted woman who does good for the family and good for the community and good in business, and that's what counts.
And that's
in
what
your
counts.
Senate,
yes.
Okay. In your Senate race, what
mm-hmm.
Does it look like right now for you? Are you in the lead?
Well, right now I am in the lead. I am leading in all four polls right now.
Good.
I am the only candidate that is not from Chicago. I'm running against six other opponents. It's seven of us in this race, this crowded field. I'm from Southern Illinois, outside of Chicago, and let me tell you, I'm leading in all the polls. I have traveled.
Good.
We have 102 counties in Illinois. I have traveled to all 102 counties.
That is
we
a lot
added
of
up
counties.
All of my
shoot.
Yes.
I thought Florida has 67. Wow.
102, and out of 102 counties, the total miles I have traveled, and we added up my total miles as of today. Is 108,523 miles.
Go get them, girl.
I'll tell you.
And the voting part of it, are they still using machines or are they doing paper ballots?
A lot. You have the option now to opt to use paper, and overwhelmingly, over 80% of the people that are voting in the primary this Tuesday, they've already polled those people, over 83%, so they will be doing paper ballot only.
You know, we have a team. We have an election integrity team. We have in all 50 states, and we're out in Illinois right now and watching the polls and the shenanigans that may go on. And we warn the candidates that if we catch any of your workers. Try anything, we're not only going to arrest the worker, but we're going to arrest the candidate and disqualify them.
Yes.
And we
we
did that in Virginia, and Terry McAuliffe had to concede because he couldn't steal it.
Well, what we're doing here in Illinois is we recruited over 200 attorneys. We've also recruited individual poll watchers where we give them a document signed by the candidate and they can go in and watch and observe. They're not allowed to act. They're allowed to watch and observe. And if they see anything that is irregular, they have a number directly to our Republican attorney's office that they can call them and stop all action. But we have recruited a record number of poll watchers throughout the state of Illinois for our gubernatorial races, the senatorial races, our congressional races, so and our local races. So we have recruited a lot of people to actually become election judges and poll watchers. And let me tell you, we have a record number. So I think now that we're on to them and we know what to watch for, I think they may be hesitant to try to do anything now.
We don't know because you still
have
so far out there.
Or has that gone?
Excuse me?
Drop boxes. Is that gone?
We have some in some areas, but it's not. It's not being used as widespread in the state anymore because of the fraud that took place. People are now hesitant, and they're not using those drop boxes. I say roughly, they said about 8%
of the people of Illinois have used it, and that's a sheer drop from the last election. People are just not using them.
Well, you got 2,000 mules out there, you know, and the documentation,
yeah.
And the rest have been made
yeah.
several states. So,
yeah. So I've dealt with election fraud here in my own county of St. Clair County, and I've caught them cheating, and I actually helped put away two individuals that actually we caught, and they're in prison right now for election fraud. So I know the Democrats cheat. I've been on the forefront of
cheat.
Yes, they do.
Sorry.
I've caught them cheating at the poll and did something about it and stood up,
okay.
fall back. And that's what it takes. It takes one person to stand up, person. And I did that. And I'm proud of that here in my county.
Good for you.
Okay. Now, the big question, why should Illinois citizens be required to vote for you?
Well, look at what I've achieved so far. I've traveled to all 102 counties. None of my opponents have done that. That tells you that I am committed and I am determined to represent the people of Illinois. I fought election fraud. I fought Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Antifa filed a restraining order against me. They doxed me and tried to put out all my information. They came after me. I came after them back. They filed a restraining order against me and lost. That was funny. I'm outspoken, and that's what we need. I'm outspoken. I'm a person that will put God and the people before the party. I have no endorsements by any of the echelons of the Republican establishment. And that should say something right now, that I am not tethered to their power. They cannot control me. And that makes them very nervous, and that makes me dangerous to the establishment Republican Party, because I'm mm-hmm. going to put the people first. I'm going to put the people before the party. And I'm going to stand up for our values, and I'm going to stand up for the people, and I'm going to fight for these children. And I'm going to fight for our veterans, and I'm going to fight for our law enforcement. And most of all, I'm just going to fight for the people of Illinois, because, Lord have mercy, they have not had a voice in so long.
So say
and
you
I'm
get
not
elected,
a politician.
Right? So
and
elected,
I'm not a politician, and that's another good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
So say you get elected, Peggy, and you win, and then your senator, what is your last name again? I'm sorry.
Hubbard.
Senator Hubbard. And you go to Washington and you're sworn in, you take your oath for the people, by the people, and everything. How do I know that they can't buy you?
Well, number one, how do you know they can't buy me? They came to me before I decided to run and offered me money not to run.
Oh,
I'm running.
Really?
Yeah, so
they tried to bribe you not to run?
Yeah, they wanted me not to run and offered me money not to run. And I told them to keep their money. And I told them, pardon my French, but kiss my ass.
Really?
This is not, I don't want your money.
Did you take
I'm
any
running for the people.
Did you take any pictures?
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Your poll.
Tons of pictures.
How many on percentage rate you took polls? How far ahead are you from the other six?
In one poll, they have me up by 39%. Everybody else was down at 12 to 14 to 13 to 16. In another poll, I was at 24%, and my challenger, which is another woman. She was behind me she was 4.5 points under me. And another poll, I was up at over 15%. I was 18.5, and she was 14.1.
Okay.
And everybody else was in the single digits. And then the other poll they did, I was up at 41%, and she was actually at 22%. So it's been, I've been progressing, and after the interview that I did yesterday with RSBN, I went up again another 4 points.
Excellent.
Yeah, Brian and Liz are friends of mine.
Brian's great, isn't he?
Yeah, and
you
I went
awesome
up another 4 points.
We saw
thank
it.
You.
I saw it. You were awesome.
Yeah. Thank
you. You were right on the target.
You
so
saw,
let me
you,
ask you, does your opponent in the Democrat Party know you exist?
Tammy Duckworth? Oh, honey, I go
yeah.
to her Facebook page. And if you go to her Facebook page on Facebook,
uh-huh.
I actually go over and do rebuttal to everything she says. She'll get like 200 likes. I'll do a rebuttal
right.
on her page. I'll get over 2,000 likes.
Good.
And she doesn't block
she
you.
She knows I exist.
Good.
She has to try and block you.
She can't.
I don't know what your green is on the campaign trail, but she's got money. So has she been running commercials that are a lot of lies?
No. She doesn't have any. This is the thing. Well, what you were saying, what you asked me about, what was you asking me about?
Well, is she running commercials?
No, she's not running any commercials. And right now, Tammy Duckworth.
She has money. I looked.
She doesn't.
I looked. After
she's
you
not
got
running.
Off the,
I know.
Interview, I ran and
uh-huh.
I looked. Because that's what I do. I research.
She's not running any commercials. She's not running any commercials.
She's
not running any commercials in Illinois
she?
At all.
How bad?
Well, right now, she's the DNC rated her at 22%. She has a 22% likelihood of being reelected.
Like Joe
right
Biden.
Now, she is not. Right now, she's not running any commercials. No radio spots. She's actually putting up billboards in Nevada. She put up some in California, Wisconsin, Michigan, New York State, and Georgia trying to raise money. The DNC is not giving her any money because she has an unlikelihood of being reelected. At 22% is her approval numbers right now.
If you're underwater, you're not going to be elected in any way. And then you got Biden. That is somewhere between 30 and 2%, somewhere in that nature, because nobody believes
and she's 22.
In the 30s.
Is
right.
this governor
right.
a one-termer, or is she on her second term?
Pritzker, yes, Pritzker. Our governor's a first term, and this is going to be his last term. And our gubernatorial candidate that's out front, which is Darren Bailey, who is a good
yes.
friend of mine, probably is going to beat him.
I believe so. Now, in your race, there's so many different candidates running. Do you have
mm-hmm.
is it going to be the top two or just the majority wins?
Majority wins.
In other words, okay.
So
okay, no
whoever
runoff.
Wins this, yeah, no runoff. Whoever
comes
out with the most votes on Tuesday, then that's going to be the candidate. And right now, I am still the front runner, and it's
cool.
making the Republican establishment of Illinois nervous. Because they've been in bed with the Democratic Party here in Illinois. And here it is, this woman who is outside of Chicago is making so much headway and traveling the state and resonating with the people.
America first.
It's an America first agenda, putting our children first, protecting
yes.
our children, and
yes.
being the voice and putting our values back. It speaks volumes to the people, and yesterday it really, really did.
Do they, at the when you do a primary, are they allowed to cross over, or it's just Democrat, and Republican vote for Republican?
No, you can vote whoever you want. That's the beauty of this country. You don't have to vote Democrat straight ticket. You can vote for the candidate of your choice, and that's in every election.
No, I'm talking
so
about the primary. You're allowed to cross over in the primary?
Yeah, you can. If you want, yeah.
Are they
people,
asking
people
for
can cross over?
Are any of your opponents asking for Democrats to vote for them?
Not that I know of, but I know my opponent that I'm running against, who's second under me, I know she's big in the Democratic Party, and
she's
running
rhino.
As a Republican.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, so she's a rhino, and everybody
voted?
Knows it.
Did
yes, they do.
Yeah,
they do. And they let her have it yesterday. They let her have it.
Yeah. There you go. No, why? We ask because Liz Cheney is asking people, the Democrats, to vote for her because no Republican
yes.
is. And, yes. they turn, yeah. and it turns out, no, they got registered Republicans to vote as Republican in Wyoming because it's a closed primary.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. They're going to try to do everything they can to hold on to power. They're going to try every trick necessary, and that's what they did here in Illinois when they put a Democrat and made him run as and had him run as a Republican, and we all knew he was a Democrat. We pulled his record under the Freedom of Information Act, that's Richard Irving, and we saw that he was a Democrat. This man is no way a Republican. He ran as for mayor last year as a Democrat, and now poof, you're a Republican?
Yeah,
that's wrong. But
that's
fraud. Now being that everybody's worried about Chicago and crime and everything else, what would you do as senator to try and save Illinois and Chicago?
Well, as a senator has influence, they do. But it only goes so far. But on my end, mine has to do with federal funding. And it's basically like this. If they're not going to allow the police to do their job, I'm in control of their federal funding and getting them the funds they need in order to run that city. And it is not fair to the people of Chicago that they have to live in fear. And what I'm going to do and use my voice and my platform and my try to use as much political capital that I can to bring attention to what's happening in Chicago. Last month, they had a hiring fair in Chicago for police officers. Normally, they have 2,000-3,000 applicants show up in a two-day period. They only had three people show up.
Wow.
They're afraid.
So... this is the problem. They have nobody backing them. They have nobody standing up
Lori
for them.
Lightfoot,
we need
what
to,
a pleasure. What a mayor.
We need to take the cuffs off the police and put them back on the criminals. We need to reinstitute cash bail. We need to pull Kim Fox out of there before she causes any damage. These families that lost loved ones to violence are not getting the judicial satisfaction of having these people prosecuted because of this woman and her inability to enforce the law. So as senator, I'm going to use my position to bring that to the forefront, to make sure the people of Chicago have a voice and the people are safe. That's my job.
The other thing is that the senator, how would you help reduce inflation?
Inflation?
Right.
Let's open up our pipelines. Let's put our coal mines back open. Let's reopen these steel mills. Let's reopen these refineries. We were energy independent. We had when you have energy independence, when you have steel independence and coal independence, when you have liquid gas independence, everything else falls into place. We're able to sell our oil. We're able to sell our liquid gas. We're able to sell our coal, our steel. These things will help drive down inflation.
And
that's something.
The other thing is the borders and security and drugs. How would you handle that?
Close the border. Close the damn border. Close it. Shut it down. During President Trump's tenure and his time in office, in 2017, we had zero people crossing the border. Zero. That meant the stay in Mexico policy was working. It worked beautifully. We told Mexico, we will not give you this funding if you do not help us on our borders and controlling these borders, because it's a win-win situation. And when that went away, we had in 2017, 2018, 2019, we had only 16,000 people crossing our borders. You know how many people have crossed our borders since Biden has taken office? 3.2 million. 3.2. You know how many terrorists have crossed our borders that we know about? 50 have been captured.
That's what we know about. How many escaped?
Exactly. If we caught 50, how many got through? The last time we didn't pay attention, buildings fell. And that's the problem that we have. Close our borders. Fentanyl is rushing in. My husband is working right now to try to stop this fentanyl epidemic. Human trafficking is at an all-time high. Overdoses are at an all-time high.
Yeah.
So right now, what we need a strong immigration policy. The policy that President Trump put into place actually worked for the country. We need to put that back. I'm going to fight to put that back. I've been down on the border, unlike Kamala, unlike Tammy Duckworth. I've been to the border five times already. So I know what's happening on the border.
No, and
we're not safe.
We have a lot of issues right now when it comes to the gun control and the red flag laws and the violation of the Second Amendment, even though the Supreme Court confirmed the Second Amendment. Sorry about that, Frank Cole. But anyway, the bottom line is, what is your position on red flag laws and the Second Amendment?
Well, I'm NRA. I'm NRA. I'm GOA, Gun Owners of America, the Illinois Rifles Association. I'm always going to stand on the side of Second Amendment rights and a person's right to bear arms and a person's right to defend themselves and their property. Red flag laws is just an end run around the Second Amendment. That's exactly what they want. They want an end run around our Second Amendment rights where criminals are running the streets, shooting and killing, and violating our rights to live. So they want to protect the criminals, but they want to take away my right to defend myself and my family. They want to arm the Taliban with $90 billion worth of weaponry, but I can't have a gun. They want to tell me how many bullets I can buy, but they bought $780,000 worth of ammunition for the Treasury Department, and I cannot get a box of 9mm, one box of 9mm. I'm actually rationed on how many boxes of bullets I can buy, but we can arm the Taliban. The red flag laws is a weak, it's just a weak knee, it's just a, what can I say? It's a knee-jerk reaction to all the mass shootings. And trust me, it is not the law-abiding citizens that are doing these mass shootings. We need to enforce the laws we already have on the books. Red flag laws do not work. If they worked, look at Chicago and tell me how well they worked. Criminals
That's
can
true.
Get guns faster than you can get a driver's license. I live right next to East St. Louis. I can go down to East St. Louis with $100, buy a gun, a box of bullets, and a 40 ounces of beer with $100. Red flag laws are only made to punish the law-abiding citizens, and I will stand up against that as senator.
There you go.
And I will hold these rhinos, accountable for this, because this should not, they should never have, yes, and my thing is, if you want to talk about gun laws and you want to take away my right to bear arms, let's do this first. Set the example. Lead by example. Won't you do away with all your armed security?
There you go.
What is your position on a teacher carrying in the classroom?
I think it's a bad idea. As a police officer, as a former police officer, bad idea. Do you know we are trained for over 9 months to be police officers, and we have to make a split second decision. My lips are not working. I've been talking all day doing interviews. I'm sorry. But we have to make split second decision. And we have to do these simulations. We have to do these simulators. We have to go out in the field and do these simulations and these shooting simulations. And you have a split second to decide fire, not fire, flight or fight. Shoot, not to shoot. You have to be able to make a split-second decision. These teachers are only going to be giving 24 hours. I have to be trained through post-certification when I was a cop every 60 days at a gun range to keep my certification. They're giving these teachers 24 hours. Bad idea. Why don't we do this? Why don't we put the resource officers, police officers, why don't we hire some veterans to do some security?
Why don't we do that?
Let's get some veterans to get into these schools. And trust me, if people know that they got a pissed off Marine in the school, they're not too apt to come in there and do harm.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, in schools and education, about CRT and indoctrination recruitment by kids, like kindergarten kids or elementary kids, being taught about sex and how to be gay and things of that nature.
CRT is just another dog whistle politics for racial indoctrination is what it is. That's what CRT is. It's to tell a little white kid that you're subservient to a little black kid or a Hispanic kid or an Asian kid. Kids do not know what color they are. They don't know what race they are. If you go to a playground right now, a playground, and watch two kids play, a black kid and a white kid, they have not a clue of what color they are, what race they are. They don't know. It's us adults that keeps putting our garbage and our ideology into these children. Here's an idea. Your job as teacher is reading, writing, and arithmetic. Leave everything else to the parents. It is not your job to indoctrinate our children. It is not your job to teach them about sex. When I was in high school, back when the earth crust cooled and the dinosaurs died, when I was in school, we could not take sex ed because we were Catholic in my household when I was growing up. And my grandmother did not allow that, because she said that was her job and my mom's job to instill us their values and their beliefs. That's not for the school. Their job is to teach. And when you have children right now that are coming out of school that can't tell you, that tell you that the War of 1812 was fought in 1964, when they can't tell you about the Constitution and the importance of our Bill of Rights, you know, you're more concerned about whether or not they know the proper way of masturbation and anal sex. That's not for them to say. And that is something, as Senator, if these schools want to teach this, then it is my job to make sure you don't get federal funding. Your job is to teach. Leave everything else to the parents. It is not your job. And I'm going to stand on that, and I'm going to fight for it.
You know, many parents are being dragged out, arrested at the school board meetings by Garland on the Justice Department. What would you do to stand up and protect these parents?
Stand up for the parents? I would be leading the charge with the parents on the steps of the Capitol to tell the FBI to leave the parents alone, and we're going to open up an investigation to find out why these parents are being investigated and Black Lives Matter and Antifa are not. I'm going to make more noise than a white woman in church.
What about the J6 people, the victims of J6?
The what? January 6th? I was actually there January 6th, and they said, this is what came to me from my congressman. My congressman said, Peggy, you win this primary, they're going to come after you. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you were there January 6th. I said, yeah, I was there, but I wasn't climbing on everything, and I wasn't kicking in doors, and I did not storm the Capitol. I was just sitting on the bench drinking a Pepsi, talking to the D.C. cops. And they said, well, the fact that you were actually there, that's where they have the problem, that you were there. So they're going to try to label you as an insurrectionist and a terrorist. Good luck, because it's going to backfire as a black woman who is a Republican, who is a conservative, who is a veteran, I think it will backfire on the Democrats greatly if they even try it. We have the right to be there. That is the people's house. The Capitol is the people's house. The Capitol is paid for by taxpayer dollars, not the government. The government does not pay for the upkeep of the Capitol. That is by the people. That is our house. We have a right to voice our concerns and our opinion. Now, granted, I was not happy when they breached the Capitol because that's not what we do. But you cannot label me and other people as terrorists and insurrectionists and ignore what's happening in Chicago, in Seattle, in Portland. You cannot do that in New York. So if I'm a terrorist, what do you call them? What do you not call them?
See, they consider themselves left-wingers or Democrats, so they can get away with everything. What about the two-tier justice system?
The what?
Two-tier justice system. In other words, Democrats get away and their supporters get away for all these crimes.
Yeah.
And conservatives don't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's something I'm going to address, too. I'm telling you, my swearing-in speech when I become senator is going to be epic, because I'm going to let them know you can't have it both ways. You can't sit up and say this is okay and this is not okay. You can't say that the people that burned down Seattle and Portland, that's okay. But when I come to D.C. and stand up for my rights and want my voice to be heard, you want to tell me that I'm a terrorist. You can't have it both ways. You can't say Maxine Waters is well within her rights under the First Amendment to call for people for violence against other people, Republicans, and that's okay. But if I say something about about Maxine Waters and say get in their faces and push them back, then I'm considered inciting violence. But when they do it, it's okay. I'm going to call them out on that.
Like ALC yesterday and Maxine Waters, both.
Yes.
Chuck Schumer with his comment and almost got that Kavanaugh killed.
Exactly. I got to cut this short. My manager is telling me I got another interview. I got to get ready for 7 o'clock.
That's fine.
Thank you,
that's
Peggy
fine.
Hubbard.
We
endorse you. The truth is out there. Voice of the People endorses you. And you're going to kick butt on Tuesday.
And sorry about
you came on. We love you. And if I
give us
in
the
Illinois,
website.
You have my vote, woman.
Oh, the website? My website is, I have several. It's peggyhubbard.org, and then it's Peggy Hubbard for U.S. Senate. And I'm also on Facebook under Peggy Hubbard.
Can you
spell
Hubbard for my audience, please?
Yes, it's H-U-B-B-A-R-D, Hubbard. And I'm on Facebook, and I'm also on the Truth platform, too, President Trump's platform, Truth. I'm also there, too, on the Peggy Hubbard for U.S. Senate.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook at Peggy Hubbard for U.S. Senate.
Thank you. So when you
win
and you're campaigning to be senator, you come back to the Truth?
Send me an email. Send me an email, and I'd be more than happy to come back. I really would. I would
thank
be very
you. And,
honored.
Thank you.
So hopefully we won't have any technical difficulties this time.
It's okay.
Sweetheart, go get your next interview.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the time
night.
And the opportunity.
Good luck on
thank
Tuesday.
You.
Anytime. Good luck.
You're welcome.
We're supporting you. God bless you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Peggy Hubbard running for Senate in Illinois. She was speaking
right.
at yesterday's rally. I sent a message. She came on. Thank God we fixed some of the technical difficulties. Kind of funny.
Well, you had
and,
help. I helped.
Yeah.
So?
And the feedback and the stuff. And stuff. So
I
that was good.
I don't know. We figured it out. We are thinkers. She's
anyway,
great.
This week,
she's great.
She's fantastic. We messaged her. She was at the rally yesterday, and it was like 30,000-40,000 people in Illinois for Trump.
That's right.
And we saw her, and we
talked with Brian Glenn of RSBN, and I said,
and Liz Willis, and then I went and I got it, and I communicated with everybody.
She called in. What a great lady. She's great. She called in. There you go. You never know who's going to walk into the forbidden door.
Forbidden door.
That's right. I told you.
And lucky we fixed it.
We surprised our audience. And she's great. She's going to... Yeah. I wanted to ask her two questions. If she's elected and she goes to the Senate, who's she going to vote for as majority leader? I didn't ask that one. I held that one. And two, if we have majority held House and majority held Senate, are you going to impeach the numbnuts, all of them, and bring back Trump? I didn't ask her. Okay, she made a lot of sense about veterans being
security.
That is really a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They would do a really good job. Never thought of that. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So what do you want to talk about? Roe?
Roe is perfect. By the way, it didn't mean that abortion ends.
You can still have your uterus carved. You still can kill your little kid. You still can be honored to be a murderer. We didn't take that away. How many states have banned it already? 14?
Something like that.
Well, you can go to New York or California.
We heard California people are happy that Roe ended, and they're starting to move in that direction.
Planned Parenthood needs to be put out of business. And then I read they're going to add services. They can't.
I heard that Planned Parenthood already shut down
for it, and they never will be.
No.
The whole to do, and they have to do it in each state. You just can't do it, okay?
A lot of Planned Parenthood offices are closing down, which is good.
You need to stop giving the goofies money up in the Capitol too.
Also, the Second Amendment passed.
Right to bear arms, folks.
And tomorrow's supposed to be more decisions, and then on Thursday. And there's several left, including
time to turn the country
religious freedom case, religious freedom case involving
laws at the Supreme Court from yesteryear legislated from the bench, and they all need to be rectified. You cannot legislate from the bench. There has to be law on the books that you need to follow. Otherwise, it doesn't follow the Constitution. And let you know something. 50 years ago, Roe versus Wade was legislated from the bench. It was not a true law. And you can't do that.
Yeah.
It violated the Constitution. And nobody wants to hear it. I don't really give a rat's tush. It is the truth.
The other thing that's coming down is, besides religious freedom, is staying in Mexico, Trump thing. And Mike Lindell's case.
And the LGBTQ marriage.
That's according to
Clarence
Thomas.
Sending it back down to the states.
Yeah, they're going to send it back to the states. The same thing.
You cannot legislate from the bench. Okay, and what was the other thing with marriage? They couldn't do that either.
Contraception, whatever you want to call it.
No, when heterosexuals with the marriage stick. So that was another legislation. They have got to stop legislating from the bench. It is only law on the books. It's in more books. Westlaw, LexisNexis. Okay. That is it. They cannot sit there, I'll make this up and I'll just, we'll make it work. It don't work that way.
We're running out of time. We only got four minutes to train.
Okay.
But
well,
anyway,
I want to tell everybody, we have a guest on Wednesday, But besides that, I want to wish everybody a great day, great Sunday, great week. It was awesome week. And I'm feeling a lot better, as everybody can hear. Still, you know.
And I'm still got, I still got
blowing.
The cough.
But
I still got the cough, but that'll go away.
Don't do a tea. Ran out of that tea crap. Can't do any more tea. And cough drops. So this is Scarlett saying, everybody, I'll be back Wednesday. And look, it's exciting. And God bless America. God bless everyone. And I endorse Peggy Hubbard. Good night, everybody.
Let's say
bye.
It. Good night. And Peggy Hubbard for U.S. Senate in Illinois. We endorse her. Great guest. Great person. And that was it. We got her win 24 hours. That is great. We got a lot of stuff coming down the line, and we'll be back doing podcasts so I get healthy again and all the other stuff. Thank you. God bless you all, and have a great evening.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the